Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and welcome back to me.
Yes, welcome back to Neil after his, he got called away for a mysterious surgery in the Netherlands, wasn't
it? Well, there's actually a secret meeting of a secret organization in a secret place about secret things.
I'm pretty sure it was about a special operation you needed to have in the
Right. Well, no, the South African warlord who took my kidneys wanted to give them back.
No, I don't think it had anything to do with your kidneys.
Are you implying that I had a sex change?
A change is such a strong word when it comes to you in this situation. I would just say
modification.
A re-clarification is probably
a
better.
A re-clarification. Of my gender. I like that.
Yes. There we go.
I'll go with that. I'm okay with that. Whatever. So I was off last week, and you had on a guest of a lady.
Emily McFadden from Cue the Film Podcast, who I've been on the Cue the Film Podcast a couple times, and because you didn't let me know in any sort of advanced stage that this gender specification surgery was going on with you, I had a caller at the last minute, so she didn't see anything, but I told her, she's like, yeah, I haven't seen any of the movies, and I'm like, you know what, that's very little difference between you every week, because you never see any movies.
Well, and that seems to be true this week, as you are going to review for us Shorts, Inglourious Basterds, and Postgrad, and I'm not going to review any of those. But before we get to all that, here's how you can get a hold of us. FatGuysTheMovies.com is the website. iTunes is the preferred method of subscription. Just go to the iTunes store, search for Fat Guys the Movies. Kevin Carr's awesome mug pops right up among other parts of his body. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, and leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. That is 614-388-TREK. Yes. For those of you who are Star Wars fans.
And may I also point out that we are worldwide. We just got a somebody tweeted out to us from Sweden this week.
Yeah, and speaking of Twitter, you can get us both on Twitter. You can get me at twitter.com/rejects, and you get Kevin Carr at twitter.com/Kevin Carr. The most original possible name for Kevin Carr.
I set it up long before I knew I was actually going to start using it with any sort of persona, and it just sort of happened. It's kind of like teen pregnancy.
Your existence, though, is a persona. Kevin Carr is a persona.
If you go to twitter.com/Kevin Carr, you get to see a lot of me.
You get a lot of Kevin Carr persona.
Yeah. You get people flirting with me on Twitter, men and women of all types. So,
and happy birthday to your wife, officially.
That's right. She had a birthday this week.
Yeah.
She is now 14.
Did you treat her right on her birthday?
I did. I let her sleep in, actually. And
nice.
Wow, did she slept in later than you sleep in.
Wow, that's impressive.
No, but she enjoyed it. I got her flowers and going out to dinner and all that kind of stuff. So, she's a teacher, so she's getting ready for school, and she's been in her room, and I told her, no, you're not allowed to go to school. You got to stay at home and be lazy.
Nice.
That is my patch for everything. Just be lazy. It's more fun that way.
Right.
Well, this coming from a guy whose job is to watch stuff and then write about it.
Yes. Well, speaking of being lazy, I was lazy this week and did not go to see Shorts, directed by Robert Rodriguez, even though it premiered here in Austin.
Well, because he's from Austin,
It was shot here in Austin, and we got invited to the premiere, and I didn't go.
How did you miss this one? Did you just not want to see it?
I was doing stuff.
Take that,
I had stuff to do. Yeah, no, I had stuff to do. I had Brian Gibson, editor of filmschoolrejects.com, here visiting from Cleveland. So I had to show him a good time, and a good time did not involve going to see a kids movie.
Okay.
So,
does Rodriguez still live in Austin at all, or does he have a house there?
Okay. No, he lives in Austin. They're shooting, right now they're shooting Machete. And Lindsay Lohan is in town.
Most politically correct way of saying it is Machete.
Lindsay Lohan and Robert De Niro are going to be here in Austin for a while. So
awesome.
I'm going to go celeb stalk a little bit.
So all you have to do is just go to the bars and find the drunk lady. Oh, look, there's Lindsay Lohan throwing up in the bushes again.
Very, very few things
throw up like Lindsay Lohan.
You can very rarely do this in person.
Wow, you were just awful. What happened? You completely derailed yourself just now. It's because I came in strong with quick wit. Are you still there?
Yeah, no. I don't know what's going on.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and do the shorts review. We'll play a clip here. Shorts, it's Robert Rodriguez goes back to kids' movies with the story of a magical wishing rock told in six different short-form segments.
This is my neighborhood. Black Falls community. My name is Toby Thompson. Life in Black Falls is pretty much survival of the coolest. I know why you have them beat up on me every day.
Because they hate you?
Because you love me.
How about no?
All that changed when I found the rock.
It's a wishing rock. You make a wish, and then it comes true.
I wish that I were the most powerful thing in the entire world.
I like to describe this film as being, if you liked Shark Boy and Lava Girl, you're going to love this movie. It's on that same level. And it's like the third Spy Kids movie, whereas like the first Spy Kids movie,
3D.
Well, the first Spy, this one's not in 3D, unfortunately, because my it was hysterical because I brought my two oldest sons, Ben and Liam, who are 6 and 8. And Ben sitting there, he's like, isn't this in 3D? And I'm like, no. And he looks at me, he's like really pissed off. He just looks at me with this evil eye and I'm like, that wasn't my decision to not make this in 3D. He was really upset that it wasn't in 3D. Although it could have been because Rodriguez has done that twice. But my guess is they didn't do it because there's so many big name 3D movies coming out right now that he couldn't get the digital cinemas for, you know, he couldn't bump G-Force and Ice Age and all those out of the 3D theaters.
But the question is, would you have liked to see this in 3D?
It would have been cool in 3D. I do think it would have been cool, but it's of that same ilk. It's like the third Spy Kids. Like the first Spy Kids was something that was very relatable to adults. By the time they got to the Spy Kids 3D, it really got goofy, kind of Saturday morning cartoony. And this is Rodriguez going back to that. And so you have to look at it with that in mind. I mean, if you're a 25-year-old guy and you're out on a date with this woman in your office who's professional, you're not going to go see this movie. But if you've got kids that are like 10 years old or less, you can go with them, and it's actually
this
more
woman
fun to see
in your
can.
Office who's professional. Are you condoning workplace romance, Kevin Garth?
Dude, they're adults, man. And my workplace romance, you know what? My workplace is my couch at home.
Right. And, you don't get to have workplace romance. You have your dog. It's you and your dog.
Whoa,
so if you're having workplace romance, that's sick, man.
Okay, sure. Anywho. No, Shorts was cute. I mean, it's a stupid story, and it's got a giant booger that runs around and attacks people. And
Wait, a giant booger?
Yeah, literally.
Why am I not watching this movie right now?
The giant booger is pretty cool in this movie. But, I mean, it's goofy and it's silly. But this kid who gets this wishing rock, and he has to fight this evil, bad corporate dude played by, what's his name?
James Spader.
I think. Yeah, and no, Danny Trejo wasn't in it. I don't know what his problem was, but he must have been killing people with a machete. Yeah, but I mean, it was better than Sharkboy and Lava Girl simply because Rodriguez wrote it and he didn't have his kids write it for him. Because he literally did that with Sharkboy. But I mean, it was cute. I mean, if for anybody who's got kids who are under 10, this is a movie to go see. So I say it kind of rocks.
All right, kind of rocks. With that, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about a movie that's totally not for kids, Post-Grad. And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and, you know, we just talked about a little kids movie. Now we're going to talk about another kids movie.
Yes, and by
Inglourious
kids,
Bastards.
There's kids in it somewhere, I think.
I'm sure there's kids in it somewhere.
You know what? I really don't even know if there's kids in it.
It's from the childlike mind of Quentin Tarantino.
That's right.
And it's Quentin Tarantino's new film about World War II and the Jewish-American soldiers killing Nazis.
Nazis.
10 hot eyes forward! My name is Lieutenant Aldo Ray. We're going to be dropped into France dressed as civilians. We're going to be doing one thing only. Killing Nazis.
Yes, sir!
Members of the National Socialist Party conquered Europe through murder, torture, intimidation, and terror. In And that's exactly what we're gonna do to them. Each and every man under my command owes me 100 Nazi scalps.
Now, you didn't get to see this, right?
I'm very sad. Can I tell you a quick story?
Yes,
really
go
quick.
Ahead. Yes.
I'm very sad that I didn't get to see this.
Time's up.
Time's not up. No. But we missed a press screening. We didn't get invited to a press screening.
Oh.
However, my cohort, Dr. Colobias, went to the Alamo Draft House last Saturday and saw it at the at a special event called Cinema Apocalypse.
Oh, okay.
And so, and I hope this isn't a spoiler. I don't think it is. Part of the movie takes place in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
That is lined with Nazi propaganda, I guess. It's like a Nazi theater, right?
Yes.
They're showing propaganda film.
Well, they're going to show propaganda. Okay, yeah.
That's the only part that's from the movie, and that I don't think is a spoiler at all. But during the scenes in the theater, in the middle of the draft house, they had these boxes on the wall, and all of a sudden people in the theater start hearing these popping sounds.
Yeah.
And big Nazi banners came down in the actual Draft House theater.
Wow.
During the movie. Wow. Like, it was apparently it was a very cool sight to see, and Quentin Tarantino was there, and he didn't know it was going to happen, and he was going crazy, and it was a really cool event. So just another kind of cool
thing. You know what
thing.
I have to say, and, though, if that were to happen, that had that like 80% chance of being awesome, and then
and
that,
the 20% chance of like
really,
freaking people the hell
of
out
of just being really awkward. Being mm-hmm. like awkward, look at the 50-foot swastika.
Well, okay. And then they had to sit through 5 more movies because it was a marathon. They had to sit through 5 more movies
so
after that
these giant
with
Nazi
banners. Propaganda on the wall.
That's awesome. Well, you know, and that's funny because you're right, because they do have the scenes in the theater, and they totally got it up with the Nazi flag and everything. And
right.
I did have to sit there and think. I'm like going, and I guess it wouldn't be, this might be politically incorrect to say, to point out the obvious, but a lot of people know there's a lot of Jewish people in Hollywood. Right. I mean, there are a lot of.
There are a few.
Yeah.
I'm told.
I mean, it's not. And I'm not going in the whole. It's run by. But I'm just saying. There's, you know, you got Spielberg. You got these people. They mm-hmm. they're. It's well known. They're there's no problem. There's no prejudice against.
They're Jewish.
Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
For an industry that really has such an awful history with the Nazis. They make a lot of swastikas. How would you like to work in the factory making these swastika banners? Because they go through
Seriously.
A lot of them in these movies. And I mean, especially in the last year, you know, you had the Nazis, and you even had them in the Spirit, and you had the Nazis in everything from
right. Hollywood has a weird obsession with Nazis.
Yeah, and there's a lot of
it's very twisted.
And what's funny is in Germany, you can't advertise it. Like all the advertising for Inglourious Bastards, pictures of the of Nazi flags being torn up, whatever. You know it's illegal to display a swastika in Germany. That's actually
I did not know that.
It is illegal to display that. So, you know, it's
good thing the Alamo Draft House is in Austin then.
Exactly. So, but anyways, my take on Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me what you thought. You actually saw the movie.
I saw the movie, and you have to understand a couple things going in. I don't know if it's being advertised properly, because if you watch the trailers, you see Brad Pitt there going, yeah, we're going to do one thing and one thing only, and that's killing Nazis. And you might get the impression that this movie is one thing and one thing only and be killing Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally not. There's a lot. The killing Nazis part is very, very small in this movie. I mean,
yeah, I've heard it's not as much of the men on a mission movie.
Yeah, and that's
that
where I
people
think they,
would want it to be.
I think that's the biggest problem the movie's having, is because I went and saw it, and I'm like, wow, this is very different than what I expected. And it took a while to get into it. And I think that might be where some of the bad buzz is coming. There's a little bit of bad buzz out there. But I think if you're going in and saying, wow, I just want to watch 2.5 hours of them kicking Nazi butt, you're not going to get that. There's a lot of other stuff going on. And he has come out and said it's supposed to be his spaghetti Western version of a war film with some blaxploitation stuff thrown in there, too. I mean, it's very
right.
random. And it's very Quentin Tarantino, but it is very random. But, like, if you're familiar with The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, the opening scene of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Levy and Cleef comes to this guy's house, and he has this confrontation. It's a big, long, and drawn out. That's the way this movie is. The movie opens, and there's this big confrontation, but it's a sit-down confrontation, and it's people have complained it's talky, which all Quentin Tarantino movies are. The only problem I had with that is it's talky in German and French as much as it is in English, so there's a lot of subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting movie.
Oh man, you mean I'm gonna have to read during this movie?
Yeah, there's a lot of reading in this movie. But I mean, it's a neat movie and it's an interesting movie. And now that I've seen it, I kind of want to see it again, knowing what it is, because it's very, it changes throughout. And like the beginning, it's this very long and rich and long drawn out, long scenes, spaghetti Western, good, the bad and the ugly, where it's not just wall to wall action. And then like the end, it just goes completely nuts. I mean, there's no other way to describe it as this. The movie just loses its freaking mind at the end, in a good way.
I love it.
In a good way. And it's really, really cool. And I'm pretty sure, unless you read spoilers about it, you're going to see some stuff in this movie you're not going to expect to see. Let's just leave it at that.
Nice.
So, I mean, I think it's
I've heard neat. That it's a very positive movie in the end.
Sure. Sure.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Eli Roth's okay in it. I mean, I'm surprised because the guy, you know,
he's not that great of an actor.
He's not that great of an actor.
Let's have it out there.
But you know,
I mean, he's a better actor than he is a director, but that's not saying much.
Okay, yeah, which would be opposite of Quentin Tarantino, I guess you could say.
That's true. I think Quentin Tarantino's a good actor.
Not really.
Or a good director.
He's a good director. He's a great director.
He's made some good movies.
But this movie reminds me a lot of Death Proof, in the sense that you have this. The first half is long and drawn out and has these big, long talky scenes. And then you finally have all the action at the end.
Right.
And maybe not a 50-50 thing, but it's worth seeing. But I'm just saying, don't go expecting anything in particular, because you'll be wrong.
Right. Right. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Sounds good. I mean, what are you going to give it? What's your grade?
I'm going to say rocks. I struggled
That's
with
what
this.
I keep hearing. Yeah, I keep hearing rocks.
I'm saying rocks because it's interesting. It's got a lot of stuff going on.
All right. So. Fair enough. Sounds good. Moving on to a movie that I don't know if it rocks. It doesn't sound like it's going to rock. But Alexis Bledel plays a recent college grad who discovers that the working world isn't as easy as to handle as she thought in Postgrad.
I totally freaked out.
That is the girl that I fell in love with, but harbors platonic feelings for me, unfortunately. Your feet are freezing.
Feet are always freezing. I have the feet of an 80-year-old man.
Ooh, that's hot.
What are you doing?
I got into law school. We'll see.
Bryden, what about you?
Just keeping my options open.
So what you're saying is you're unemployed.
I have no job, and I live with my parents.
How'd it go?
I asked the VP if she was pregnant. No, she was just fat.
Aw.
This is not the way it's supposed to go.
You're not supposed to come back when you've already left the nest.
This is another one you didn't see, right?
I have a feeling I'm going to be thankful that I didn't see it.
Not a lot of people saw this. And what's funny is this was originally produced under the Fox Atomic banner, which I think was that killed for good by 12 Rounds was when they finally took that off the, or was
maybe
it Miss March?
It was right. They were producing Jennifer's Body under Fox Atomic, and then it just went downhill. Then they were like, nah, The Rocker was like one of the last Fox Atomic releases.
Yeah, The Rocker was going to be a big one. And then I think 12 Rounds was a big Fox Atomic one. And then Miss March was a big Fox Atomic. And then they switched that to Fox Searchlight. Right. But they still have Fox Atomic in the credits. And the second I saw that, I'm like,
poor Fox Searchlight.
That's not a good... Yeah, because there's a big difference between like Miss March and Slumdog Millionaire.
Right.
Yeah. Even though they're technically,
but you know what? Everybody makes mistakes. Even Fox Searchlight.
And Postgrad would be one of them. I mean, I couldn't get past it. It's this girl, and she's really whiny, and she's got the typical boyfriend the friend who really likes her, and she doesn't realize he likes her. And I hate characters like that, and I hate people like that because they're so stupid. It's one thing to kind of like have a crush over the summer, but like apparently this is going on for 8 years, and it gets in this Deus Ex Machina ending, and the actors are good. And,
wow.
I mean, it's got like Michael Keaton and Jane Lynch and Carol Burnett. I mean, these are good actors, but they are just not given material. And I'm watching this going, you played Batman, for crying out loud, and look what you're doing. It's pathetic.
You were Batman. Now you suck.
Yeah, and that was just Carol Burnett I was talking about.
Nice.
So, but no,
Carol Burnett was good Batman.
She was a better Batman than Christian Bale.
I agree.
But yeah, I couldn't get into this. Now, the 12 or so people that were in the audience with me, they liked it. So I'm sure somebody's going to. But yeah, it was, sadly, this is not a good film. It sucks.
And with that, it's time to go to break. We'll be right back.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We
That where we are this week?
Yes, we're still in the magical studio in the sky. That's where you are.
I keep getting confused.
You are. You do get confused. But let's talk about the box office. This is where we do box office. We figure out which movie is going to do best and where it's going to go. I don't have my cheat sheets with me, so I'm just going to be completely shooting in the dark. But before, I want to kind of...
Wait, you cheat at this?
Yes, I do. I look in the future.
That's not cool, dude.
You cheat all the time.
I thought we were doing this like straight up.
Okay, well, I'm doing it straight
up. I actually thought you were good at predicting the box office for a few weeks.
Actually, I was great at predicting the box office.
You were pretty good because last week
for funny people, I totally rocked on that.
Didn't you hit it on the nose last week as well? What did we have last week? We had G.I. Joe. We had District 9.
I have to point out that G.I. Joe, it didn't do as poorly as I thought it would. But this is what I thought was interesting about G.I. Joe, and I said it last week, but I didn't get to say it to you. So since you're
right
important and the world revolves around you, I might as well say it now.
Obviously,
it did well. But it wasn't like a $70 million movie. It went out of the gate, and what I thought was interesting, it did well on Friday, and then all the predictions got lower as the weekend went on. They're like, oh my gosh, it's going to make $65 million. Nah, it's going to make $62 million this weekend if you track the box office through the weekend. And then like Saturday rolls around, and they're like, yeah, it's probably going to make $58. And then it comes in, it's like makes $56, and then it comes in like $1 million less when they finally get the actuals.
Right.
Which means it did peter out over the weekend. It did well. Mm-hmm. But it's having a sinking performance. It's very similar to Fantastic Four, those Fantastic Four movies,
right,
which I liked. And I liked G.I. Joe, too.
Right, as did I. And I'm really sad that I didn't get to talk about District 9 on the show last week, because it's easily one of my favorite movies of the year. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of disappointed that it won the box office last week, but it only made $37 million.
Are you kidding?
I mean, that's good, but I wanted it.
$37 million is phenomenal for an August release and a movie that cost $7 million less than that to make.
Exactly. I mean, it made great money, and it is a success. However, I would encourage people even this week to go out and see District 9. Like, it is easily the best sci-fi movie you're going to see all year. I don't care what Avatar turns out to be.
Yes.
You know, Avatar could be this humongous, giant, shiny, great thing with bells on, and it's not going to be as original and as cool as District 9.
And I am, speaking of Avatar, I am going to go get a chance to see the early footage from
Avatar.
Can
we talk about that next week on the show?
We will absolutely talk about it next week.
Sweet.
But yeah, I'm just bragging at the fact that I got a special invite to go see it.
And they didn't even do a screening here in Austin. Lame.
Yes. I rock.
Anyway, but so this weekend, I think Inglourious Basterds is going to finish number one.
I totally agree. I think it's going to finish number one, but, you know, I'm
thinking it's not 30 million.
Like in the 30s, and it's not going to be a huge movie for two reasons. It's getting, there's a little bit of people out there. There are people saying that it's talky. Talky is the word that I'm hearing a lot around this
movie.
Which
is problematic when you're saying that in the vicinity of a Tarantino movie.
That's also 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to say it's a talkie movie and it's 90 minutes, but this was 2.5 hours. So that, and it's R rating, even though District 9 was R rated, it did very well, but there was a massive positive buzz behind District 9. Inglourious Bastards is dealing with some bad buzz. It's dealing with some great buzz too.
Right.
But I think it's going to be something similar to like Grindhouse, where it's going to get the hardcore fans, but in finding an audience, the other thing is there's a lot of subtitles in this movie, and just in general, you have your exceptions like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. When that came out 10 years ago, a lot of people wanted to go see that, but very few movies do well with that much subtitles. I mean, this isn't like Star Wars where they have Jabba the Hutt talking and they have subtitles for like a 2-minute scene. I mean, they have long extended scenes where they're talking French and German. So I think that's gonna kill it by word of mouth too.
Right.
So I mean, it'll do well, but he has yet to have his, you know, $100 million out of the gate weekend kind of movie, and
right,
I don't think this one will be it.
I don't think so either, but I think District 9 is going to be a close second this week.
Yeah, I think District 9 is riding a wave.
It's, and you know what, it's getting good word of mouth, obviously, so I think, you know, you're going to have in the 30s, both of them maybe in the 30s.
Very possible. Well, District 9, it's 20. I mean, it
went
out.
High 20s.
Yeah, I mean, if you're saying it's in the 30s, that means it'll only lose 10% of business, and it's going to lose. That's almost unheard of from a week to week.
Well, hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, it'll probably be 20. I wouldn't be surprised if District 9 made about 20, right around the 20 mark.
Yeah.
Now, post-grad, I think post-grad's going to end up like Bandslam was last week. Bandslam didn't even make the top 10, didn't even make the top 12, came in 13th.
Well, that's because Kevin Carr slammed it.
That's because I hated that movie. And I was called a pervert on Rotten Tomatoes because I suggested that it would have been better if Vanessa Hudgens had just taken the camera herself.
You need to take away your wife's computer privileges. She keeps commenting on your articles.
Well, yeah, the comments on Rotten Tomatoes, one person said that I sounded like a perv, and the other one's like, yes, you do. So,
hey, you know what I just realized real quick about box office? If this movie opens in the 30s, it'll be the highest grossing Quentin Tarantino directed film opening weekend wise. His highest is $25 million. Kill Bill 2.
Yeah,
Kill Bill.
I thought Kill Bill. I didn't.
It opened to
$25 million
and made $66 million. He made $107 million total with Pulp Fiction, and that is the highest that he's ever gone. So as a director,
but I mean he's an art house director. I mean, I give him credit for making the movies he wants to, but he's like Kevin Smith. He's never going to capture that mainstream. Making the movies he wants to, which is fine as an artist. That's what you got to do. You stick to your guns. Mm-hmm. But and people like Kevin Smith and Quentin Tarantino are in a mm-hmm. tough position because they're such recognizable names,
mm-hmm.
but they don't carry. They're not like a Michael Bay, who, you know, for better or for worse, you put mm-hmm. Michael Bay in the directing spot of the movie. The movie's going to do incredibly, incredibly well.
Right.
He could remake My Dinner with Andre with lockdown cameras, and just his name alone is going to propel it to the box office.
Right.
Although I think a Michael Bay makes My Dinner with Andre
would be interesting. I suppose
that would be a very interesting movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on.
You're right. And shorts will be somewhere in the $10 million.
Yeah,
range.
It'll do okay. Robert Rodriguez's kids movies always do pretty well. So
yeah.
I think it'll be in the top 10, maybe in the top 5, maybe number like 5. But moving on, it is time to do a little Fat Guy 5 action. How do you feel about that?
I'm very into Fat Guy 5s.
And this week we're going to do the top 5 Quentin Tarantino films.
Yeah, not including, we're not going to keep Inglourious Basterds out of this because you haven't seen it yet. So we're just going to deal with his earlier work.
Leading up to Inglourious Basterds. We're going to start with number 5, Death Proof.
Yes.
Which was the epitome of talky.
Very talky. But the problem with Death Proof is it wasn't very interesting.
Exactly.
The talking wasn't interesting. It wasn't like Jules and Vincent Vega talking about Big Macs.
Royales with cheese.
Royales. Let's be accurate, Quarter Pounders, excuse me. Royales.
Yes. All right. What's the next one? What's number 4?
Jackie Brown, which is probably his most divergent piece that he's ever done. It's not typical Quentin Tarantino, partly because it comes from somebody else's original story, and it doesn't follow exactly his style. It's not as talky. It's got a lot of stuff going on, but the best thing about Jackie Brown, Bridget Fonda's legs,
or Samuel L. Jackson's weird hipster beard.
No,
that's the one where he has that long ass beard, doesn't he?
Maybe.
Fair enough.
Maybe.
I love that one. Anyway, moving on. Reservoir Dogs is up next.
Yes.
I'm actually a big fan of Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, good.
I was always a big fan of Chris Penn.
Yeah, he's
Sean Penn's brother.
Well, Reservoir Dogs, the best in Reservoir Dogs is Steve Buscemi, who doesn't tip.
Oh, yeah. I love that. That whole diner scene is fantastic. Mr. Pink is awesome. Yeah. And what's his name is really good in that.
Blah, 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 who?
That guy. Hold on.
Tim Roth?
Tim Roth is fantastic in that movie.
Yes.
So, you know.
He is not playing an ape in that movie.
Not playing a dirty ape.
He is no monkey.
He will not be your monkey. And then number 2. What's number 2?
Kill Bill. I mean, you could say this is number 2 and 2.5 because mm-hmm. it was released
well, it was
in two parts.
Movies, yeah.
Well, and it's still. Am I incorrect in knowing this? Is it true? They've never released it again in the whole Bloody Affair yet, have they?
No. Apparently, it's going to eventually happen.
Yeah. And what's so funny about it is I was thinking if there's any release that's going to make money, it's the full package, whole Bloody Affair with plenty of special features. Because the release of Kill Bill 1 and 2.
They both did well.
They did very well, but they also didn't have any special, they didn't have much supplemental material on either DVD.
Right.
It was just like the movie.
Oh, yeah, they were awful. The same thing with Grindhouse. What is his problem?
Yeah.
Like the same thing with Grindhouse. If they would release that whole thing with the fake trailers and like the full experience, that thing would make gangbusters. You know, like you got to be kidding me.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't know if it's Quentin Tarantino. This is, I believe, all Dimension doing. The Weinsteins.
Yeah.
They always second guess things. So
Those guys
might
suck.
Be a Weinsteins thing. I hate the Weinsteins. So speaking of the Weinsteins, what's the top Quentin Tarantino film?
Pulp Fiction.
There you go.
The movie that essentially, along with Clerks, that made Miramax what it is today.
Made them a badass motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because we were having a discussion here at Reject HQ the other day about whether or not Quentin Tarantino is mainstream.
Oh, he's not.
He's not. However, Pulp Fiction is. Like, my mom knows Pulp Fiction. Like, if I'm like, hey, mom, like, Pulp Fiction. She's like, oh my God, I love that dance scene with John Travolta and Uma Thurman. Like, Pulp Fiction is part of the mainstream. It's part of that, like, mainstream people knowing indie film. Like, when you think of indie film, it's like Clerks and Pulp Fiction. And
I'm going to offer as to say it's sort of mainstream, and this is why. And your mother, like, say, no, I mean, I'm sure your mom's seen it, but knowing the dance scene in Pulp Fiction doesn't necessarily mean you've seen the movie. It's
right,
like watching, was it Streetcar Named Desire? And you may have never seen Streetcar Named Desire, but you're going to know the Stella scene because it's referenced all over the place. And I think his stuff is more referenced and at least...
Well, yeah, but I feel like the Pulp Fiction brand is in the mainstream, though. So the movie is there. I mean, you can't say that for any of his other stuff.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people know what Pulp Fiction is and may not have seen the whole movie. But
so,
when it was up for the Academy Award that year in 94, 95, whenever the Oscars were, it was well known. And it was what, the Full Monty? No, the Full Monty? That wasn't the Full Monty. Whatever won that year, I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
But that was obviously the highest profile, I think, movie. And that's the one that made him as a name.
Right.
But
it won an Oscar. It won a screenplay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it did. But I'll tell you, it's sort of like Napoleon Dynamite. More people know about Napoleon Dynamite than actually have seen
it. Oh, Forrest Gump won that year.
Oh, okay.
By the way.
Forrest Gump.
But, yeah, no, I just think... no, Best Actor in a Leading Role. Hold on. I'll find it. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Who cares?
Forrest Gump won Best Actor.
Yeah, Forrest Gump won Best Picture. So.
Yeah, and Best Picture.
Anyway, so Pulp Fiction is easily his best movie, his most successful movie, all of that. And when we come back from this break that's about to happen, we're going to wrap you up. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. It's time to, you know, I mean, we're breaking it on down.
Well, just go in there with confidence there, Neil.
Well, you know, I mean...
Well,
I don't know.
Here we are again. Another
so,
one done.
We've run you through all this week's releases. We've run you through our... If you heard the magical third segment that only shows up online, then you heard our top five Quentin Tarantino movies.
Yes.
Which is cool. So now it's time, once again, for the world-famous DVD Roundup. We'll start with me, because we always do. I mean, I guess we didn't have to start with me last week, because I wasn't here.
Yeah.
But I have two, and one of them is kind of an angry, I love it, but I'm mad at the distributor, is Dexter Season 3.
Because
it came out on DVD, but not Blu-ray.
I thought it came out on Blu-ray, too.
No, it didn't. Well, as far as I can tell, it didn't.
No,
and it's that makes me very sad.
Actually, I'm pretty sure it came out on Blu-ray. Keep talking.
No way.
I'm checking for you.
I'm checking now too. But anyways, either way, Dexter Season 3 is good stuff. All right, let's all agree that Dexter is one of the best shows on television.
It's cool.
Oh, it did come out. That's stupid.
That's the whole
Why
point.
Didn't they
yeah,
send me that?
It came out. Well, no, it's being handled by another publicity department. If that's what you're
that's
asking.
Dumb.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, so go get Dexter Season 3 on whatever format you can get it on. It doesn't matter. But specifically to Blu-ray this week, The Last Starfighter, the 25th Anniversary Edition, is quite awesome. And
it's
let me just say this.
It's on DVD, too, if you want it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a 25th
well,
anniversary.
Yeah.
So, but
I would highly recommend getting the Blu-ray because the transfer is awesome.
Yeah. you can see the really the low grade CGI effects.
But you know
really
what?
Well.
It's funny because even though the CGI, which this is the first ever CGI, the first movie to ever use CGI.
No.
I'm pretty sure it is.
No. Star Trek 2 was. This was the first movie to have full blown CGI battle sequences in it.
It's
to the extent that they used it.
It's goofy, but it's still awesome.
Oh, it's incredible. And here's the thing. That came out in 1984. I was like 13 that summer.
I was one.
And you still were pooping your pants, which you did for what, another 10 years. But
I'm still doing it.
Yeah, I was 13 when it came out, and video games were huge. If you don't know what it's about a kid who plays video games and gets recruited to become a starfighter because of his prowess in
video
games.
And he saves the universe.
And what's so awesome about that is you went to the arcades and you were playing video. You're like literally thinking that somebody's going to be like, we need to save world from all these dots, so we need to have somebody who can, you know, angle this little ball to eat them dot. Or we need this.
Although,
there's this
giant
giant gorilla that's stolen a princess.
It would have been cool to be abducted to play Space Invaders. Mm-hmm. Not so cool to play Centipede.
No.
Pong. We're going to recruit you to play Pong, the intergalactic tournament of Pong.
But no, yeah, you're right. The Last Starfighter is an awesome movie.
It's a very cool movie. So go out there and buy it, especially if you have a Blu-ray player. It's really cool on Blu-ray.
Yeah. And let me just blast through a couple on my end. Of course, the big one, Simpsons Season 12, is on DVD. We get 10 more seasons at least after this. So, and they continue to put cool stuff on the DVDs, which is nice. I can respect that. There's also a couple Disney picks. You got Hannah Montana, the movie. I know that you're dying to see that. Yes. And what's great about it is on the DVD and Blu-ray, the Blu-ray comes packaged with the DVD, which is always nice in the Disney releases. It also has, it will teach you how to do her little hoedown throwdown party song. You can now cut a rug with your woman at home. Another Disney release, you got Pete's Dragon. Did you ever see Pete's Dragon?
Yeah.
That's out on DVD this week.
Another awesome movie from my childhood.
That would be awesome. I wish they'd remake that. Could you imagine how awesome that would be? Because it was all cell animated. Elliot was all cell animated. But could you imagine remaking that with a computer-generated dragon? And then you could do like a computer-generated Shelley Winters.
Nice.
That would be awesome.
Computer-animated Shelley Winters.
Yep. Another movie that is a remake and falls sort of in the Hannah Montana line, Last House on the Left, the unrated digit. What's funny is there's like 5 minutes extra in the unrated version.
Oh, Kevin Carr, you win again.
Bah, bah, bah. But there's like five more minutes in it, but honestly, the scenes aren't any worse or better, however you describe it. I don't think they add stuff to the bad scenes. I didn't personally like Last House on the Left, but if you're a fan of the original movie, it's worth it for the remake. A couple TV shows out. Gossip Girl Season 2.
I actually like Gossip Girl. I would support our listeners buying this DVD or renting it. Gossip Girl's a good show.
It's a good show.
But go see the first couple seasons first, though.
Well, only first season. Obviously. But no, you can pick it up. It's sort of a Sex and the City with rich kids in New York, like Long
really
Island.
Really good looking rich kids.
Yeah. Speaking of good looking people, Dirty Sexy Money. It's second and final season. That's out, which isn't a bad show. It just didn't have the stamina to make it to a third season. But it's not bad. It's entertaining. As is Eli Stone. If you want to get your Johnny Lee Miller fix. Eli Stone's not a bad show. And I'm not sure why it didn't. I mean, I understand Dirty Sexy Money had some problems, but Eli Stone, I could have dug another season of that movie, that show.
Nice. And so what's our stinker of the week?
The Poker House, which is Lori Petty's debut as a director, apparently about her childhood, but it's an awful movie. So yeah, don't go see it.
Poker.
I don't even know.
Almost killed her. Anyways, that's the DVD roundup this week. And time to wrap up reviews. Inglourious Basterds, Kevin saw and said...
It rocked.
It rocks, and I'm hearing it rocks too, so I'm going to go see it this weekend. Shorts, Kevin's kid saw it and said...
Well, my kid said that totally rocks, and I say it kind of rocks.
And post-grad...
Sucks.
Next week, we've got Halloween 2 and The Final Destination. Hopefully, it's not The Final Destination for us.
I don't think we're going to see those movies.
Yeah, in between now and then, you can get us at fatguysthemovies.com. All the relevant information is online for you. I promise that I will not have emergency surgery next week. I will be back.
Great.
Joker, I don't even know her.